Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Welcome back. Well, we've been experiencing some trying conditions in several parts of the country, and one of the organizations that people look to when we're in some of these situations and we need assistance, fire services. Joining us now, a gentleman, he's been on the program, on the station, in several incarnations. He's been speaking to us, to you guys, several different times. Let's welcome Officer Jude Rogers. Good morning to you.
Pleasant good morning, Satish. Pleasant good morning to all of our listeners this morning. A very serious topic. I was listening on before just to get an understanding as to what are the challenges, but I just want to start off by saying that the fire service, the chief fire officer, and all of the men and women of the Trinidad Tobago Fire Service, we are in readiness. We prepare for the hurricane season long in advance, and we stand ready to respond to emergencies. Satish, I would just want to bring a couple of tips for members of the public, because even while all of this was going on and the flooding was going on, we still had fires taking place. And we still had persons who, again, would have been trapped in their homes as a result of floodwaters that would have what we call flash flooding. It rises very quickly. Within a matter of an hour to 2 hours, your entire street and even your homes can be inundated with water. So when you're in those situations, it takes a little while to be able to get or to access certain areas, especially harder hit areas. So what we want people to do, or to be able to do, again, you know the numbers to the fire service, 990. We are your first responders. We respond to all public safety, public health, public safety challenges. Satish, so I would want to just give a few tips very quickly, because the hurricane season is, and the rainy season has been declared, and it is upon us. And some of these weather patterns, as your meteorologists, in-house meteorologists, would have identified, some of them they develop very quickly. So one of the things that we need to develop is the resilience of citizens, because it takes a while for emergency services to get to widespread areas that are affected. And so it's not just going to be one home or one household, but there may be multiple in particular areas. I know we spoke about the flooding in the southern area. I myself would have been affected in the central area, as I live in the central area, and they were flooding along the roadways as well. So let's start off by identifying the fact that we need to prepare a safety kit, or a hurricane kit, or a flood safety kit for our home. And I want to just suggest some of the items that you need to have stored properly in your homes. And that would be fresh water and food. Suggested is canned food or non-perishable foods that can be stored. We'd want to have clothing, some form of change of clothing stored away, and we are suggesting Ziploc bags and also plastic containers which can stay dry in the event of an emergency. Medication, a lot of people don't take into consideration, Satish, the medication that they may need, and you need to put away a certain amount of medication for those who are treating persons who have to take medication. Of course, you must have a battery-powered radio, because we have to keep in touch and to understand what is coming and where and why and how. We also would need extra batteries for your flashlights, of course, and a medical kit or a first aid kit. It doesn't have to be a very large one, but at least we should have some form of ability to treat cuts, ability to sanitize wounds, all these different bandages and so forth, to be able to address some sort of first aid issue if it were to arise with a member of your family. Satish, one of the key things that we also want people to be aware, if you are trapped in your home, your neighbor's house may be a distance from you, we may not even be aware of where you are, especially if persons are unable to call. We say that your safety kit should have a whistle so that you could signal for help, so that when emergency response teams come into your area and we hear the whistle, we know that this is a person that is crying out for help. They are under some form of distress. All right. You can keep blankets, definitely garbage bags. And I want to delve into one other area. It is recommended that when floodwaters have reached the level of, let's say, your electrical plugs, Satish, you would want to, you definitely would want to turn the power off from the main breakers. So you would want to ensure that that is done, because we don't want the threat of electrocution, because even with floodwaters, once it gets into your home, your electricity could be compromised and it could also create a challenge. We would have had also challenges where a house just over the weekend was affected by lightning, and that lightning would have struck and caused a fire to ensue in that property. So the warning goes out there, as the bad weather arises and it comes forward, we want to address those by putting the necessary things in place. So preparedness, planning, and being prepared, having yourself stocked properly, can allow you to sit out and wait out the challenge, because many a times, Satish, we are unable to reach persons until the floodwater subsides to some level, to some degree. So I will give some more tips as we go along.
Yeah, let's when a situation like this comes up, for many people, this is not their first rodeo. They've dealt with this numerous times before when it comes to flooding. But sometimes the flooding is at a level that they're not used to. And we saw that yesterday, where some areas experienced much higher levels of floods than they're accustomed to. Now, that in itself is going to bring additional challenges. And we read in the newspaper that persons had to be removed from their homes. Yes. Some people couldn't go back to their homes last night, had to wait it out. They had no idea what's going on. Let's set the stage. In a situation like this, let's take natural disaster, that's what flooding is. It's a natural disaster.
Yes.
What is the role and function of the fire services? And should the fire services be a first responder? Who should people contact firstly when something like this happens?
An excellent question, and I heard the debate that has been going on, and the response is very, very clear. The Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service is your first line or your front line when it comes to major natural disasters, flooding, hurricanes. It's, of course, we would be there to receive your trouble calls. So first and foremost, the responding arm of the Ministry of the National Security when disasters, where flooding, where fires, where all of those situations are concerned, is the Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service. So that let's make that very clear. We work in conjunction with the corporations, the municipal corporations, the borough corporations, the city corporations, to bring additional resources to bring about relief. There are also resources at those corporations as first responders as well. Some of them have emergency response teams, we call them CERT. So they are community-based response teams. However, the fact remains that even if fire service were to venture out on a particular trouble call, we can only deal with one or two calls at a time. And so when we have mass or large amounts of areas that are affected, you may have multiple families that could be trapped. So the challenge here now, fire service has to rank the risk and determine where there is a threat to life, imminent danger to children, to elderly people. This is where we would focus our efforts. But again, that information has to come to us so that we can make those critical decisions.
Mm. You know, it's interesting. The role of the fire services as first responders. Many people in situations like these would not necessarily be of the opinion, well, let me pick up the phone and call the fire services. They would either call the police, or they would call their counselor or somebody else, and because that's the go-to response. These are the people that they're in touch with. These are the people who they think would be their first responders. And I don't think in this country we have that mindset that in a situation like this, in natural disasters, we have to call fire services because that's their role and function. That those are the people who are trained to deal with situations like these. But you said something that is obviously going to be of concern, and that's the resources available to fire services and the ability to respond. We had a raging discussion in this country about fire services and the resources available to fire services. And that entire matter came to a head with the death of a woman and her child in Siparia in Queen Anne Road. For there not being a fire tender available. And we had this whole long discussion. For weeks, this country was talking about how much fire truck we have and how much we go and get and all of that kind of bacchanal. Here we have another situation that highlights in no uncertain terms that the fire services needs to be properly resourced, because you can't tell when a natural disaster is going to come up. And natural disasters present many more challenges than a fire would, because a fire would be, a fire is in isolated in one building. It may spread to one or two others, but that's one location. You're dealing with one instance in a situation, as you said, and as you can deduce from what's going on. When you have a natural disaster, you have thousands of people in some instances. You have entire communities. You have some communities you can't even get to. We don't have vehicles to get to them. You have to get a boat to go and find these people and all these things. So, to people who are in need, what kind of faith can they have? And I mean, this might be seem like an unfair question, but it's a real question. How much faith can people have that a fire services that is as encumbered with all the problems when it comes to resources and everything else can actually come to their aid when they need it? What do you say to people in a situation like that?
Right. So, to members of the public, I just want to admonish you that the reality is that it's a wide geographical area that we're dealing with. And Satish, you're absolutely correct. We cannot respond to every single trouble call. And so what I highlighted is, just as well, when we have a mass casualty situation, let's say, for instance, is a situation at the airport, what we're going to do, we will take in all of the information. We would make sure that when the trouble call comes in, we look at the severity of each of the situations. We know the terrain that we're talking about. As you rightfully said, flooding is not a today-for-today issue. It's a perennial issue. We know where the low points are. We know where the riverines are. We know where the challenges are. And so accessing certain areas will only be possible even if we were to deploy the land search and rescue team, which is the team that is geared towards rescue along rivers, rescue along over precipice, all of these types of challenges, entry into the forest to rescue persons who, hikers who may be trapped, because these are all of the challenges that we face as well, Satish. An ambulance team cannot drive an ambulance into certain areas. So we would still have to go in, make an extraction, and bring those persons out to where we can actually bring them to a vehicle that can take them to a place of safety.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that the resources may be not enough, and they will never ever be enough. So this is why I speak towards the resilience of citizens to some degree or to some extent. Now, if it is one of the challenges that we noticed, and one of the things I'd like to ask citizens to do, sometimes, well, you know your areas. You know where the challenges are in terms of flooding. If you know that your area perennially floods, we are asking you, in certain instances, do not wait or stay in place and hope to, if you know that your area normally stays is in a flood-prone area. We would want to recommend that you leave that particular area once you see a certain amount of rainfall is occurring. So this is some of the challenge. Otherwise, you know that you will end up being trapped. Fire service will respond, but at the end of the day, some of our personnel would have responded over the weekend. We would have actually conducted two rescues over the weekend, and fire officers had to beat through approximately 4 feet of water. It was only so far that our vehicle could have gone, and in some cases, fire officers will go on foot, or they would use the dinghies that we have, the low bottom boats, and we would make access to those areas. So we were able to move one family out and one other elderly person that was removed from their home in that particular district that was affected, Satish.
Let's take a couple messages, and when we get back, we'll get to some bits and pieces of advice for persons who may be in some of these situations, may find themselves in some of these situations. The do's, you were giving some bits of information prior. Let's get into that in a greater way when we get back. Also taking some of your calls as well If there are questions you'd like to pose to the fire services through Officer Rogers, feel free to do so on 627-3223 and 625-2257. Stay with us. 15 minutes before 8.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. With us, Officer Jude Rogers. Officer, I think now might be a good time for us to give people some tips. You gave us some tips earlier on, but let's delve a bit deeper into that. We'll be wrapping up our interview at 8 just before we head to the news. So tell us, for those people who might be facing some situations now, in the future, what are some of the pieces of advice that they should keep in mind?
Right, so members of the public, listeners, the number one thing that is necessary for our citizens, one, we need to build up our resistance, build up our resilience, against some of these situations. Because again, accessing you from the position of first responders may be delayed, because even the fire service is going to have to wade through high water levels to get to you. That can take time. That precious time would leave you or render you helpless in certain situations. So what we want for citizens to do, be aware of your surroundings. Know the areas, your flood-prone areas. Have some sort of idea as to how or where you can actually evacuate in the event of an emergency. Flooding happens very quickly. However, certain areas, we are aware that they are perennial flood-prone areas. Those areas, we're saying, once we see, we get the bulletins. This is why we say, stay close to your radios and have a look out for the bulletins and that will be released by the Trinidad and Tobago Meteorological Service. Also, the ODPM would send out certain bulletins to help people to be aware of what may be coming. Again, the only way to do so is to have your safety kits ready, meaning your hurricane safety kit, which should have at least, if you have to wait it out, Satish, sometimes we have to wait it out. I'm saying we may need to seek higher ground. Sometimes people have to go as far as getting up on their roof. Some persons may have to go on the upper levels if they are capable of doing so. However, you should have at least the ability to have the food, the water, some sort of medication, in certain instances, a flashlight, extra batteries. And again, I talk about having a whistle. How many of us would think about having a whistle in our kit, our safety kit? Because it can help us as first responders to identify where you may be located. Because a lot of these things happen, there's no electricity, there is darkness, and you are surrounded by water. It's difficult to find people in those situations. Satish, I can come on radio here, and I can speak about the response, but I want members of the public to be aware and to understand that some of these situations, you really cannot plan for it. I'm just being real.
Yeah.
If we were, and in this situation, we did not get a hurricane-type situation, I want members of the public to be aware that if you sit back and lay back and don't respond by putting preparation in place, you can be caught in situations that could actually threaten your life.
Yeah.
I want to also reiterate that there are shelters in each community that may be on higher ground. They are normally the community centers in your community, the primary schools and the secondary schools in your community. If you want a proper listing of the shelters for your area, each regional corporation has a listing of the shelters that they will man. Also, you can get it online through the local government and the rural development ministry. You can go online and you can get the master list and determine which one is closest to you. Do not be afraid, do not be ashamed to utilize this shelter. If you believe that you are in a flood-prone area and there's a strong possibility, because of many, many years of seeing it happening over and over, that you can be trapped in your homes. Before that water level begins to rise, you should leave and get to higher ground. All right? One other quick point that I want to note, electricity is a hazard, and electrical hazards during hurricane season, during flooding, can cause you harm. Persons have been known to be electrocuted. Even fire officers, while responding, we have to be very careful. When we respond to trouble calls where flooding is concerned, if you notice down lines have come down, please don't venture into those areas. Even if you do not see sparks, That does not mean that you cannot be electrocuted. Drivers, I'm speaking to drivers now. As you approach bridges, areas that are flood prone, you may have your vehicles maybe low. Even if you have a 4x4, that does not mean that you can brace certain levels of flood waters. We have seen on our news and in Trinidad where persons in as much as 2 feet of flood waters, their vehicles have been swept away. We are saying it is better to turn back than to try to venture through that flood water, get stuck, and then your vehicle, your family is placed in a situation of compromise.
Yeah.
The fire service knows their responsibility, takes their responsibility very serious, and will respond together with all of the other arms but it takes a little while to respond in certain instances to mobilize, because the persons who have to respond, especially through the corporations, they have to get to their resources as well and then come to you. Not sometimes persons who are responding may also be trapped in their communities. So this is why resilience on the part of the communities, and I'm saying community groups, need to come together as well. This is just the best advice that we are offering, and work out a plan for their communities, especially when those communities are always are part of flooding on a perennial basis. The fire service again stands ready, Satish, to respond to all of these calls. Based on the priority.
That's definitely great information. That's, we're going to have to leave our interview here this morning, Officer Rogers. Thank you once again for being with us on the station and giving this valuable information to our listeners at a time when some people may not need it immediately, but it's definitely worthwhile information to have as we move forward. I want to thank you once again for being with us here this morning and giving us these insights into these very important matters. Once again, thank you.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.